The last two late-night comedy shows returned to the fold last night. The Colbert Report and The Daily Show weighed in with their hosts' charm and wit, but without their team of writers to churn out award-winning fake news. In a related story, the Golden Globes, essentially a fake award show, will not go forward as planned because stars didn't want to cross picket lines. One writer who's all but ready to do that is director and writer John Ridley. Join the conversation. Do you have any questions for John Ridley about his position on the strike? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You could also comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now from NPR West in Los Angeles is Hollywood writer and Morning Edition contributor John Ridley. Hey, John, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you? I like the fake awards line. That was very nice for the Golden Globes.
Well, the writer says check, but as of now, no longer a union writer? Or what is your status technically?
You can't leave the union. Your membership is compulsory to the union, so you can't leave. But they have a status which is called financial corps, and it's basically a conscientious objector status, which says that you don't politically agree with the guild anymore. You still have to pay your dues at a slightly, and I do mean slightly, reduced rate. So you still support the guild, but you're basically saying you don't agree with the guild anymore, and that is a real status by their own rules.
What drove you to go FICOR?
A lot of things. It's not really just about the strike. For a long time, I've had political opposition to certain things that the guild has done, which is all right. It's a large group, and no one is going to agree 100% with everything that is being done. But increasingly, the guild has gone to a place where they don't really appreciate any kind of contrary voice. And obviously, with this strike, that's reached a fever pitch. And when I was at a guild meeting prior to the holidays, just the vitriol that was expressed, not just towards me, but to any writer who questioned the leadership and what was being done and why the strike was dragging on and why a deal was not being made, was basically and literally, and I can't use the language on the air, was just told to sit down and not talk about it.
And you didn't just chalk this up to the need to rally the troops, circle the wagons? I don't know. Can you think of another cliche? But when you're striking, you have to show a united front, no?
I think when you're striking, you have to show a united front. But when you're in a meeting with writers and when you have writers asking legitimate questions about the Writers Guild's own rules and how they follow rules, for example, these interim agreements that are being made are actually supposed to be voted on by the membership. They can't just be handed out in an arbitrary fashion. Why isn't the membership allowed to vote? They may carry anyway, but when the guild isn't following their own rules, how can they effectively lead a strike? And when you're sitting in a meeting among writers and can't ask these questions, or when a group's leadership, when perhaps their cause, they don't feel their cause is just enough that it cannot stand up to some criticism, you have to wonder where your place is in that organization.
If you are so persuasive that a whole bunch of writers follow you out or follow you towards FICOR and it really hurts the strike, do you feel that you will be hurting, if not destroying, the livelihoods of a lot of workaday writers?
Well, first of all, I'm not asking anybody to follow me. And originally, I not had any intention of going public at all with my actions. It was meant to be a signal to the leadership. Here's how I feel and here's what I'm doing. Other people have made it public. And at that point, you can't shy away from it. You can't pretend that what you're doing is wrong or that you should be in the closet. And I have no problem talking about it. What other writers do at this point, honestly, is not any concern to me. People should be able to do as they please. Some writers have asked me, and I've actually cautioned them against going financial corps because of the potential of a gray listing. So I don't think it's for everyone. I don't think it should be for everyone. And again, to me, it was a signal to the leadership. But if people want to make it public, I'm not going to hide from my decisions.
The TV writers' complaint, if not their main complaint, is that we have this whole new world of new media. And if you write an episode of, say, The Office, if NBC's new mechanism for getting that to you is online, they're cutting the writers out of the residual process. Is that just not your issue? Do you have sympathy for them on that point?
I do have sympathy for them on that point in regards to the fact that, yes, there are corporations that are making a lot of money. Now, we should point out at this point that the corporations aren't making a ton of money on the internet. Certainly in the future they may. I don't think it's going to be on content. I think it's going to be on ownership of websites. You look at Google, you look at MySpace, you look at YouTube, which is a part of Google now. They're not making the money on the content. They're making the money off of the advertising support of these sites. And I think it's a little ironic that you have writers who are going on strike over new media and wanting to be paid, And yet then they run out and do YouTube videos for free. And some of them are funny and some of them are interesting. But there's a lot of passion there. And the writers are not afraid of owning their work. I think it's counterproductive to say, hey, we really want the money for the internet work. However, we will go out and work on the internet for free.
Teresa from New Hampshire, I guess you're calling us right before you run out to the polls.
I'm actually calling from New Hampshire, but I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay, so you can't vote. But you do have a question for John Riley or a statement?
I have a question, yeah. I'm wondering, I haven't seen anything in the press about ways that the American public can help support the writer's strike. I'm feeling that it's definitely had an effect on the television viewership. I can see the effect as a television viewer. But I'm unclear the ways in which the Guild has tried to reach out to the American public for support.
Well, thanks for your call, Teresa. We're going to drop the line because there's just a lot of scratchiness. But what about her point, John Ridley?
Well, unfortunately, and I do mean this sincerely, I'm not trying to be facetious, there's not much the public can do to support the writers. They can certainly write letters to the studio heads, network heads. They can support through the strike fund. There's an industry strike fund which will go to support writers that meet financial hardships. If people want to give, they certainly can do that. But unless people are going to stop watching television, which is what people are doing anyway, viewership is down across the board even before the strike started, there's not much they can do. And different from, say, here in California, we had a grocery store strike. People could choose not to go to certain grocery stores. Some of them tried to stay open. People could choose not to cross those picket lines and take their business elsewhere. You really can't, if you take your business elsewhere in the writer's strike, eventually you are going to be hurting the writers who watch television. If you start reading books, which as an author, I don't have a problem with that. If you start spending more time on the internet, if you start spending more time with your family, yes, you will hurt the studios and networks, but the writers won't have jobs to come back to. So you can support them morally, you can support them financially, but there's not much else you can do.
That's right. I'm going to stick it to the big studio. Hello, Proust. Hello, Crime and Punishment. I don't really want to read it, but MGM can't win the day.
Now, yeah, there was a study done, though, but 25% of the people, the majority of people said they will start reading more because of the strike. So it's not, in some ways, it's not a bad thing. And that's part of the problem with the strike. It's not like we're taking cars off the road. It's not like we're taking food from people's mouths. We're taking away entertainment. Entertainment's great, but it's not a live or die product.
Jeff from Minneapolis, who promises to be civil in his disagreement with John.
Yeah, I will be. And
please go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sorry, but I think you might be a scab. And I hate to use that word, but here's what I did. I'm a writer. I'm not in a guild. I haven't made it that far yet, but I did cut off my cable. I'm not going to movies, and I'm reading. And I picked up a Graham Greene book that I love deeply, The Comedians, and I'm reading that. And I can't watch Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert because I feel like they are scabbing out my people.
John Ridley?
Listen, I don't disagree with that. I would say that I'm not a scab. I'm following the union rules. I have not left the union. They have a provision for financial core. It's within their guidelines, and I'm going in their guidelines. I'm not back on television. I don't have a TV show. As an author, I would suggest that you pick up either The American Way, which I wrote, or The Drift, which I wrote.
He's not a scab, but he's a shill.
I am a shill. I got no problem with that. And I think these are personal choices. I mean, look, you have guys like Jon Stewart and Jay Leno who have supported their staffs. Their staffs were facing real financial hardship, if not termination, over the holidays. So for these individuals in particular, what do you do? After they've been paying out of their own pockets, at some point, what are they going to do? Are they going to take 100 people and put them out on the street over the holidays when property taxes are due here in Los Angeles and taxes are only a couple of months away? Or do they go back to work and say, look, I'm sorry I have to go back to work. I can't make an interim deal, but I'm going.
Okay, thanks for the call, Jeff.
Thank you.
John, the financial ramifications, you mentioned a gray list. Do you expect to take a hit because of your actions?
I actually don't work in Hollywood that much anymore. I don't work in day-to-day television where the bulk of work is done. I've written a few film scripts, but only about one in the last 2 years. I think that I could work, but I think that, the previous caller talked about being a scab, and I know he's trying to be respectful in his opinion, but if you believe in something, you have to take that stand. There are writers right now who believe in what they're doing, and they're striking. For me, I also believe in what I'm doing, and I am risking certain financial income in the future, but that's the price that you pay for standing up in what you believe in.
You are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to, is that Brian from Cleveland?
Yes, sir, it is.
Because on my screen it says brain, and I'm willing to believe that.
No. I'm no brain. I'm at that right now.
Well, blow us away with your intellect, Brian. Go ahead.
Question is the Raiders actually going to get physically anything out of this strike?
Physically anything out this? Financially anything? I'm assuming, exactly. Financially.
Yeah.
Tangibly.
Tangibly, yes. There will be a deal made. If you follow the strike at all, right now the Directors Guild, another union in Hollywood, which as the name implies largely represents directors, has started negotiations with the producers. The directors generally tend to make agreements. They tend to be more in line with the producers. They tend to get the job done in terms of making agreements. They will probably make an agreement in the next 2 to 3 months, and the strike will probably end there. The Writers Guild could sit out and ask for more, but after three more months, which will be about 5 months of striking, I'm guessing they will probably take a deal. So yes, they will get something out of it. Well, they will not get all their demands, but most strikes, people don't get everything they want anyway.
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, then peacefully, and everybody will be happy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there'll be a lot of happiness, but you have to understand in Hollywood there's always a lot of discord. It's a small town. It's driven by ego on both sides. I don't think that the producers, by the way, are being particularly reasonable. The amount of money lost in the community far outweighs what they would have given up or what the writers would have gained at this point. I think both sides are unreasonable. And for me personally, I'm basically saying I'm taking myself out of this strike.
Thanks for the call, Brian.
Thanks.
All right, one last call. Let's try to sneak you in quite quickly. Chuck in San Francisco, go ahead.
Thanks a lot. What am I missing? You said that the money is made from advertising, not content. My understanding is people don't watch TV or go to the Internet to look at the ads. They go for the content. So is that argument as ridiculous as it sounds to me?
People go for the content, but YouTube is absolutely free. Where YouTube or Google make their money... Where they make their money is from the advertiser support that they get. When YouTube or Google or anybody, MySpace,
right,
can go back to the advertiser and say, look, we get X number of hits, therefore we can charge you X amount of money for your ad on our space.
What's that, Chuck?
So, they get the hits because of the content.
They absolutely do, but nobody's paying for the content. Nobody right now is paying for the content. Now, iTunes, yes, they pay for the content, but you're paying $1.99 per episode. $1.99 per episode per download is not going to pay the $3 million per episode it costs to make an episode of Lost.
Thanks for the call there, Chuck. And John, thank you for joining us today. John Ridley, regular contributor to Morning Edition. He joined us from our studios at NPR West. Thanks again, John. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Mike Pesca in Washington.